Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you from Midtown Atlanta, from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower, overlooking majestic Buckhead. The weather is magnificent. The dog put a licking on the University of Missouri, for which we are grateful. The Patriots look good, and some things in America are looking up. But some things aren't. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This is a very, very, very difficult time, and I want to bring on my brother, Richard. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine, John. How are you?
I am doing tolerably well. All right, there's something that I wanted to bring up with you, and I have not let you know what this is because I want to have your reaction to it based on something that you do not know. Okay, here it is, and this is what the reason I'm doing this to you is because this is something that almost no Americans know, but concerns every single American, and in and of itself is more serious even than the catastrophic debt, the high unemployment, the lack of a budget, and no fiscal responsibility or plan. You would think, how could that possibly be?
Well, exactly. All right. What I was thinking, how could that possibly be? I know all you want to do is humiliate me, but that's okay. Let's work at it.
On national radio. Okay. I remember when your son was, you know, who's 40 years old and should know better, said he really liked Obama, and you said, give me two reasons. And he said, one, well, he killed Osama bin Laden, which everybody gives. And, you know, obviously it was Navy SEAL Team 6, but Obama can take credit for that. And kudos to you, sir. Mr. President, for that particular thing, good job, well done. The stuff with the Predator drones, they took out the number two man in Al-Qaeda in Yemen today, and I like the idea of using Predator drones to take out these terrorists and not have to have American soldiers go in there and get killed. This part I'll give him high marks on, and you know obviously he didn't build that himself.
No.
Yeah.
It was long before he was ever around.
Yeah. Right. And you know, but still, it's a legitimate thing to say. You did well on that, and we're going to give him credit for it because we hold him accountable, and I believe that the things that he's done well. And there are a few of them, not many, but a few, that we should give him credit for. All right, here's what I wanted to ask you about. All right, each day, the President of the United States has what they call the Presidential Daily Brief. This is when the intelligence is all gathered and brought to the President, and he is made aware of what is going on in the world and what are the potential threats to the United States. And as his role of being president, of being commander-in-chief, keeping us safe is his number one responsibility, even more so than being the leader of the economy and helping us develop policies and everything else. All right. With that as the background.
And spending more money than he brings in. He's good at that, though. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. By quite a bit. $5 trillion $5.5 trillion, which is, you know, in less than 4 years. So it's like $1.2 trillion a year he is spending more than he's bringing in. That is really poor. All right. But let me go into this particular thing, because I think this is something that's going to surprise you. All right. In the first 1,225 days, according to the Government Accountability Institute, from the day he took office until mid-June 2012, is 1,225 days. That means that he had 1,225 briefings.
Daily briefs, yeah.
That, you know, because it's a presidential daily brief, there's one a day. All right.
Mm-hmm.
How many of these briefings do you think he attended?
Well, let's, since the daily briefing is for the commander-in-chief, you'd say he should have
put
done...
put there for you, this is your thing, and by the way, it's something that President Bush almost never missed.
Okay, let's see then. I would say that he had as many daily briefings as he had gone to a Christian church while in office. Three.
Well, he did a little better than that. He went a total, a little bit better than that, actually. 536 times, or 43% of the briefings. Now, during 2011 and 2012, when he has spent all of his time fundraising and trying to convince the American people that he should be reelected, it's fallen to 38% of the time. So that's really just a little over one-third of the time. And my question to you is this. If that's your primary responsibility, if you were the boss of someone who showed up for work a third of the time, how long would you employ them?
Well, let's see now. If we're talking that they've been around for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden, in a month, they showed up for 10 days out of 30. That would have been the last month that they worked.
This is about as poor a performance. It isn't just a poor performance. This is gross negligence.
Absolutely.
He's commander in the chief of the forces of the United States of America, and it is his sworn duty and responsibility, and he's being paid to be commander-in-chief, and yet he's going to just a little over one-third of the briefing each day. How can he keep on top of what's happening in the world? The answer is he can't.
Can't.
Does that...
But that's pretty pathetic, if you ask me.
Well, that's exactly what I would say.
Who actually attends these daily briefings? Is this the head of the chief of staff, all of the military? Is he the one that, or is this the Secretary of Defense? Are any of these people involved, or is it the president so we just won't have one today?
This is, this is what the National Intelligence Advisor would bring to him each day. And I'm sure there's some days that, well, you know, the world's a very dangerous place. And there are people who want to destroy us. And there are several nations, particularly Iran, whose stated policy is that once they get nuclear weapons, which we have done a very poor job of keeping them from doing, they want to destroy Israel and then us with nuclear weapons. And we have a leader who can't find the time to sit down and find out what in the world is going on, and we're supposed to reelect this man and swoon at his feet as if he has done a job credible and deserving of reelection? What is it that Governor Christie said? What the hell are we paying you for?
Right, exactly.
If he isn't doing his job, what the hell are we paying him for?
Well, let me give you an analogy. Since this is the first week of NFL football, if you were a receiver and you only caught 43% of the passes thrown to you, how long do you think, John, you would have your job?
Well, if the balls were thrown and I should catch them, and I was catching less than half, I think that I would lose my job the following week. Or if I had a coach that was just particularly, you know, tolerant, I might go 2 weeks. But I think that the NFL stands for NFL, not for long. And that's exactly what should happen with Barack Obama.
What you're saying though is if the coach was liberal, you might keep your job for a while longer.
Well, yeah, I guess that probably would be the how that would equate out to that.
Yeah.
All right.
I would say so.
This is something that I don't think that many Americans know this.
Well, obviously not. Where did this piece of information come from? I mean, it's just from the general accounting that this is what he does, or where did this information all of a sudden, here it is?
This is a watchdog group that the Government Accountability Institute, and what they did is that you have freedom of access to, you know, to different things. And they examined President Obama's schedule from the day he took office up till now. And each day he has a scheduled meeting for the presidential daily brief. And he only attended 536 out of 1,225, and that 43.8% has now slipped to 38, so he's even doing less than he once did, which to me is, this is about as serious a thing as you can possibly imagine, and I cannot for the life of me understand how any of the Obama supporters could come up with an excuse for this in the dangerous world in which we live. It just doesn't seem credible to me. Now, you know, when after the Russian Revolution, when and after Lenin died, and Stalin took over, beating out his rival Trotsky. And he was consolidating power for a totalitarian regime. He had a number of very liberal people, what was the radical left, in Moscow and throughout the country, who would go out and give excuses for everything that he was doing, saying he was not a dictator and not a totalitarian, wasn't doing that, that this was all creating this utopian left-wing society, which, of course, never happened. Stalin used to refer to these people as useful fools. Useful fools. America has millions of useful fools for the radical left agenda who will just absolutely defend every single thing that happens. And it's amazing to me how they will do so. I saw also yesterday, as a perfect example of this, some data has come out about all of the vacations that Michelle Obama has been a fortune on. And it was like, well, you know, one of the things said that it was like $10 million this year alone. $10 million. I mean, one of the trips was for her daughter, who, you know, is 13 years old, 13 or 14, and took, you know, 8 friends and went to Mexico, and they flew a jet and had to have 25 Secret Service people to protect all of these kids in Mexico. And it was so that it was for their spring break, with our nation hemorrhaging economically. There's this kind of expenditure for this kind of waste.
But do you mean, didn't Obama pay for that out of his own pocket?
No, he did not pay for that out of his own pocket.
Oh, wow.
Americans don't know that either.
Unbelievable.
Makes you mad, doesn't it? Well, guess what?
It's like a slap in the face. It's like, you know, it's like you're reaching into your wallet for a dollar and he's already taken 10 out of it.
Here's something that I think that is even funnier. In a recent email to all of their followers, Michelle Obama said, instead of going out with your husband or your wife for dinner, take the money that you would have spent on that and send it to Barack's reelection campaign. She takes these planes and sends all this money that isn't hers, and then has the gall to send out an email to people and say, well, instead of you enjoying date night with your husband or your wife, send the money for the reelection campaign. And you know what? There will be thousands of useful fools who will do just that. All right.
Well, I didn't get that email, so obviously they know I'm not.
You didn't get that email. There you go. All right. Now, it's just incredible to me. The latest unemployment figures have just come out, and of course, you know, they will be. It says that the unemployment is now is 8.1% instead of 8.3%, which you could say, well, that's good news. Of course. it will be, those are preliminary figures. Once the actual ones come out in a couple of weeks, it'll go back up to 8.2 or 8.3 because this is just done this way by the Obama administration, and it happens. It's happened every month just about that he's been in the presidency. It's so that the initial shock of how bad it is doesn't really come out. And yet, when you go into the figures, and let me just say this. This comes directly from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. That's part of the administration. I mean, that's from the Department of Labor. So these are government figures. The actual unemployment is probably closer to 16%, and of those underemployed, even higher than that, because there's 23 million Americans out of work. And yet, speaking about useful fools, the unemployment rate for adult men is 7.6%. So it's substantially lower than the average. For adult women, it's 7.3%. For teenagers, it's almost 25%. And yet, who are they going to vote for? Obama. Adult men are his, I mean, he's going to lose adult men substantially. And adult, whites are 7.2%, blacks 14.1%, twice what it is for white population. And yet, he's going to get 98 or 99% of the black vote. Romney will just be doing cartwheels if he could get it to where it was like 85 or 88%. But he won't. So here, the ethnic group that is doing the worst in the nation is the one that supports him the most.
Well, he's supporting
kind of that. Useful fools.
Useful he supports fools. Them.
Yeah,
and,
well.
They're the ones that are getting all the food stamps and the like.
I don't think that's true. I know that's not true. There are way more white people that get food stamps than African Americans. Let me continue with this just a little bit further. Hispanics, 10.2%. They also are pretty heavily into his camp. It just seems to me very ironic that the people who are the ones that have suffered the most are the groups that are supporting him the most. Pretty amazing.
Doesn't make any sense.
That's kind of some tough stuff. Yeah. All right, now as we look at some of this stuff also, I wanted to take a look at what is happening in some of these battleground states and things like this after the Democratic National Convention. In all of the battleground states, it looks like Obama's up in Ohio 2%. in Virginia, 0.5%. Florida, almost 2%. That's substantial. Wisconsin, you know, he's up in there. North Carolina, Romney's up. Romney's up in Missouri. Missouri's really off the board. It's going to end up being going Republican, as is Indiana, you know, that went the other way. Now, when people are taking these polls, it seems like Obama is doing better than he should, based upon all of the things that are happening. While he was at the convention, the debt calendar clicked over $16 trillion. We've never, ever approached anything like that. And it's a significant benchmark. And it was right there when they were having the convention. It would seem to me as if he should be doing much worse in the polls than he is. And yet, at this same juncture, when Jimmy Carter was running against Ronald Reagan, he had a 4% lead at this time.
Carter did.
And Reagan ended up beating him by 10%. Michael Dukakis had a 17% lead over George Herbert Walker Bush, and he got killed. So this is a time now, between now and the election, which is just a little less than
2 days.
And, you know, there's three debates, and Romney is going to have to do extremely well in those. And I think that, I mean, Ryan's going to, you know, poor Joe Biden, I feel very sorry for him if you want to know the truth. But this is a serious time. And we just can't afford to have a president who takes national security for granted. Isn't that what happened when we had Pearl Harbor? Isn't that what happened when we had 9/11, which the anniversary is tomorrow? Being vigilant in an unsafe world is President Obama's primary responsibility, and he does not take it seriously.
Pretty scary.
How that is something that is unconscionable.
Exactly.
And it's also why he doesn't want these military people, you know, take him to court, where he doesn't want to give them any kind of extra time to vote. The reason is they see this stuff, and they aren't going to vote for him. If they love him as the commander-in-chief, he'd go out of his way, but they're not going to vote for him. And all he's interested in is being reelected, not in serving the people of the United States. This is what's happening in our country right now. I mean, we talk about the debt. We talk about, you know, his fiscal irresponsibility and how incompetent he is there. But the bottom line is, here we are. We've got stuff that's going on, and he's just not doing the job that he's being paid for. Very disappointed in him, and I didn't think I was capable.
He hit it right on the head. Me.
Yeah. All right. This is all the time we've got. I just want to say God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, and persevere, guys. We're going to take our country back. Bye-bye.